This week's show with Isabel Estrambio is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery and the Embroiderers Guild of America. It's the holiday season and an excellent time to shop at SassyJackStitchery.com for new projects for yourself or gifts for stitching friends. Sassy Jack's carries charts from all of the top designers, several lines of threads, and an extensive selection of linen in all thread counts. Always keep in mind that a gift certificate can be the perfect choice for your favorite stitching friends. While supplies last, Sassy Jack's has three sales packages that are guaranteed to tempt you. The Sampler Mystery Collection Steel Deal is a curated assortment of five sampler or sampler-ish charts, $125 value for $25 until they're all gone. Five cross-stitch charts from popular designers, a $75 value for $20, and five charts from the Heartstring Samplery Sunday Stitchers Series, a $50 value for $15. If you're someone who can never have enough scissors, check out the Golden Forge Scissors, a new offering from Sassy Jack's. They're available in red and willow green and drop forged from a single piece of steel and hand finished by Italian artisans. Treat yourself or your stitching BFF to a new pair of scissors. Make it a habit to visit the Sassy Jack's website at SassyJackStitchery.com and join the Sassy Jack's Facebook group to keep up with all of the upcoming activities. Receive Christmas gift money from a friend or family member? Use it to join or renew your EGA membership, and you'll realize stitching enjoyment all year long. If you don't have an EGA local chapter or monthly meetings don't fit your schedule, join the EGA as a member at large. One of the member at large benefits is the Member at Large Virtual Stitch-In Zoom program. The next one is January 1 at 2 p.m. Eastern. Note that you must register in advance to participate. Also make a note in the new year to sign up for the Needlework Fair National Seminar 2025, which will be held November 12 to 16 in Dallas. Part of that annual event is the new and exciting Sampler University, which is open to EGA members and non-members. As a non-member, it's an excellent opportunity to experience a national seminar. Also, be sure to participate in the very popular virtual lecture series. The next presentation is the Red Dress Project with British artist Kirsty MacLeod. That lecture is January 26 at 1 p.m. Eastern, and registration opens December 16. All of the details for these and so many more programs are available at egausa.org. Visit the website and join today. It'll raise your needlework enjoyment to a new level. Thanks to Sassy Jack's and the EGA for sponsoring this week's show, and now our conversation with Isabel Estrambio. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And our artist right there in the middle of the screen from now Sweden, Isabel Estrambio. You never stay in one spot twice here. Isabella, well, we got Italy, London,
Australia.
Australia?
Dubai and Sweden now.
Holy smokes! Yeah.
Wow.
moving around like that. I mean, obviously it's in your nature to do it, but your kids must get such a variety of culture. It's got to be great for them.
Well, with the kids, this is the first time we moved country. Oh, so okay. The youngest was born in Italy, but we moved when she was one, so she doesn't remember. And we just moved to Sweden. So all the traveling was pre-kids, so it was way easier.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're going to get later what my daughter always told me. Why did you travel before I was born? is what she always told me. You know, it's like, well, you know, now you have to make your own adventures, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. No, it's definitely easier when it's just the two of you. Also less stuff.
yeah, a lot less stuff, yeah.
Lots less, yeah.
Well, Isabella is with us today, and her new book is Mindful Macrame. And, of course, our audience is primarily needleworkers by a long shot, actually almost exclusively. So people are going to go, well, I'm not interested in macrame. Well, yes, you are, because you're interested in this book, because this is so unique. And when we talk about the book, which we'll do for the majority of the time, if you're a needleworker, just insert in the word, instead of macrame, needlework, because it works for the same thing. It's the mindful part. It's the mental aspect that we're after here that Isabella brings out in her book that is so cool. And the way you have that book put together is just, it's just ideal. Really a functional book. It's a functional book. There's projects in there, but the mindful mental part is you nailed it. You nailed it. So
I'm glad it resonates, and it's been well received.
Yeah. Now the new book, we'll get into detail in the book later, but the new book comes out in January, but people can pre-order it, right?
Yes, correct. They can order it in the US, and it comes out on the 10th of January.
Yes. Right. So people can get that. And we'll get into the details. It's just a really neat thing. So started out as an architect, interior designer. That when I grow up, that's what I want to be.
Yeah, I always wanted to be an interior designer. My dad had a furniture shop, so I've always been around interior designers. And then I studied interior architecture at university, and then start working as interior designer straight away. So that was my my career and all I wanted to do.
But you're not doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because we've talked to so many designers who start out in the corporate world and then they just move away from it. Was it the corporate world or kids that got you out of?
I think it's more the corporate world. It's been very demanding. And I think especially in design, there's a lot of pressure on project, very short deadlines. So working extra hours. And once you have a family, that becomes not compatible anymore. So I was still working because that was what my career was, but I realized that I wasn't growing my career. You know, I kind of hit a ceiling because I couldn't put the hours and the same commitment as before. I could not, you know, stay to work until 10 o'clock because the next day there's a deadline. You know, I had to go home and pick up my kids from nursery. So I had to compromise. And for a period of time, I was happy to compromise, you know, and finish it at 5 and other people will, you know, grow in their career. And I just stayed where I was because I had children, and that's where I was. But obviously after a while, especially I think if you're a creative person, it becomes very frustrating because the less you commit to your career, obviously the less interesting projects you're going to get or roles or, you know, things that you design. So if before I was designing a restaurant, then suddenly I was designing the in suites for a hotel. So it's completely different, design skills. And that's when I start to find different outlet outside my work to kind of express my creativity. And that's how it came about.
So then the job, just a function of you're not able to work 80 hours a week, then got you into lesser creative projects. So then it basically was stifling your creativity in the end. Then.
Exactly. Yeah. Feeling very, very frustrated when you just repeat, you know, you do the same thing over and over again and, you know, and you go to work and it says, oh, I'm just going to throw bathroom again, you know. But that's how it was. That's how it was, you know. And I think people that are interior designer, they understand what it is. But that's how it was. And sometimes when you think of interior designer, you think it's all glamorous, but it's not. You know, at the end of the day, the project has to be done, and there's lots of other bits and pieces and need to be solved and drawn and you know, given to the project manager. And that's what I was doing. And you know, obviously my career completely changed, and I understood that was gonna be like that for a few years because my family was coming first. So
what'd you do today? I drew a bathroom. But you did that yesterday. Yeah, but the toilet was over here, not over here. So oh man. Yeah, but that's, you know, we make that sacrifice for kids. I mean, you do that, but still, if you're a creative person, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, maybe other people would be okay with it, but I wasn't. And I thought I just need to find a different way. And that also relates a lot with the mindful book. You know, I know we're going to talk about that, but it's just finding that time during a busy schedule or when you feel stuck. You know, sometimes there are periods in your life where you are stuck and, you know, maybe there's no opportunity or you just simply cannot make that choice at that time. You know, you have to wait, where you still need to try to carve that time for your creativity. And even if you're not a creative person, or, you know, a creative person as such, I do think that everyone is creative, you know, and we all need to find a creative outlet. And it could be macrame or needle felting, or it could be cooking, it could be music, dancing. It's a way of expressing ourselves in a creative way.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, it has to come out. Yeah.
Yeah, it has to come out in one way or the other. That's what I feel.
So you said you did 12 crafts in 12 months. So was that while you're still working, or was that after?
Yeah, well, I was still working, and I came up with this idea. So before I start the 12 crafts in 12 months, I had Pinterest pins, you know, and so many boards of things that I wish I could do, you know, and I had tabs saved on my favorites. And because I've always drawn by creative craft and doing things with my hand, I just did not have the time. I did not carve that time to do it. So I actually don't remember the moment I came up with the idea of doing 12 crafts in 12 months. But then I remember going to work and talking to a colleague, and she was like, oh my God, this is so cool. She says, but why 12 crafts? I was like, I can't pick one. I can't choose one. So I thought, if I try 12, then maybe, you know, I can try it out and then see which one I like. And macrame was my very first one. I absolutely loved it. A neighbor actually taught me. She was Portuguese, and I saw her doing it. I was like, oh, what is this? Because I've never heard of macrame until at that point. And that was 2015. And she said, oh, it's macrame. And I said, oh, can you teach me? And she said, yeah, for your birthday, why don't you come to my house? We can have like kind of a garden party, and I teach you macrame. And that's how I learned. And, so then a few months later, I decided to start this blog about learning 12 crafts in 12 months. Macrame was my first one. And then I ended up doing all the 12.
Okay, I got to know the 12. I got to know the 12.
Yeah, I know that everyone asks. Now I'll try to remember because I should have written down. I forgot. So I had macrame, I had weaving, paper cutting, candle making, crochet, slow stitching, natural dyeing, polymer clay, reef making, basket making, temari ball, and lino cutting.
Holy
okay,
smokes.
So which was your, macrame obviously stuck, but which one did you like the least?
Paper cutting.
Mm. And why was that?
To cut all this, I just did not have the patience, you know. And then if you cut one bit too much, it just ruined the whole thing and you have to start again. I was like, oh my God, I cannot do this. Not for me. I don't have that patience. That, yeah, no.
Yeah.
What a range of crafts. Holy smokes. And tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, even the paper cutting, it was a challenge. But that's the thing. Sometimes if you don't try, you don't know. Or sometimes you look at something and you think it's complicated, and it turns out actually it's, you know, you're quite good at it. And other time you think it's simple and actually it's not. So, you know, you do have to try them and to see if it's your thing, you know, if you can connect with the medium.
Yeah. Okay, now see, my head's going. What would I do for 12? What would my 12 be? I don't know. Wow.
It's a good challenge, right? It's fun.
Right.
Oh. Right. Right. Yeah, especially, you know, and I think of like when I had my kids, I homeschooled them. And so, you know, candle making, we did that. We did some weaving, you know, with the little looms. And I think that's great. You challenge yourself. You're like, do I like this? Do I hate it? I think we tried soap making or, you know, lotion making, something like that. I don't remember. And it's good to try all those little things. Some things stick and some things don't. And it just depends.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Okay. I got to know why macrame stuck. But see, Beth and I remember back, well, probably in the 70s, when macrame was, I mean, everybody was doing it. Anyone who did any craft was doing it. Beth, you know, what, plant hangers, and you put drooping plants in them and the whole thing. I mean, that was a craze for a while, and then it just kind of died off. But it keeps popping up lately, and I think it may be a little bit of a comeback here. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I think it has come back probably about 15 years now. And especially, I think, about 15 years ago, probably in Australia and America, and now probably 10 years in the UK, in Europe. I think the difference between the 60s and the 70s compared to now is, one is the materials. You know, there's so many beautiful materials. You know, instead of using the brown jute, now you have beautiful cotton things in all different colors. A lot of them are made by recycled cotton, so very eco-friendly. We have bamboo strings, which is absolutely soft and beautiful. So we have, the materials are completely different than back in the 70s. And I think also people now are using macrame. This is also one of the reasons why I love macrame. It's, you can have micro macrame, you know, to make jewelry. You have you can use very chunky materials to make like big installation. It could be clothing. There's some beautiful designer out there that are making clothes out of macrame, homeware, you know, decorations. You know, I've wrote a book about home decor, jewelry, Christmas. So there's so many things. And that's why I think almost anyone could love macrame or can give it a go, because you can find your thing that you want to make, things that you like either to wear or to have in your home, use the colors you want, different type of materials. You can do it big, or, you know, the same knot, make it small or make it big, has completely different look. So people can really express their style and their personality with macrame.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing in looking at your work, because I remember back in the day, it was just always just this chunky, big knots and heavy cord, and you had to have a space to hang it. And I'm sure there was smaller stuff, but the stuff you make has an elegance to it. It's a whole different look.
Yeah. And the material makes a huge difference. And again, because these days you can find a cord or string that is 1.5 millimeter to 10 millimeters. So it's a completely different range, and you can create even the same pot plant, you know, the hanger done with a finer string compared to a chunky string has a completely different look and proportion. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember making even like bracelets, because kind of the friendship bracelet sort of thing, yeah. where you, but it was always that brown jute stuff with the beads. And
that's it.
You know, you added the beads to make it pretty, but I'm sure I made those and I know an owl.
Yeah, I think owls, planters are like the top two projects that people did at school in the 70s, early 80s.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, you put the ring in and you did the macro. Oh, yes, I could do that. But yours, you're right. I think it's the material has changed. We've got all that really nice, softer looking fibers that we can use. And the fact that they're recyclable makes it much more. I mean, the jute was just, it was so rough to use on your hands.
Exactly. I think that's the other thing, very rough on your hand as a material. It's a very coarse material.
Yeah.
And as I think as people who are creatives, I try doing photos on my computer. I don't like doing that. I'm tactile. I need to touch the stuff. So I think that's what's appealing to needlework for me. And that macrame is, I've seen it. It comes up on my feed and Instagram and things. And I'm thinking, oh, it's much nicer material now. That would be fun. You know, it's the tactile. I want to touch it.
100%.
So is that what made it stick for you? What made your 12, it was the one that you locked into?
I think what I loved is, so when I did macrame for the first time, I've learned two knots. And I could tell, you know, as soon as I've made the knot, so I could start recognize the knot, that even with two knots, because you could use in different colors, different materials, the spacing, even with two knots, you could create so many different versions of the same pattern. And then the same pattern, if you just change, just say the spacing between the knot, you can create something completely new. And so I could see the potential. And so for me, that it's what kind of opened a door to a completely new world. I was like, wow, you know, what if I learn even two more knots, you know, what can I make? Uh-huh. And so that's how it started, you know, then I learned one more knot and combine it. It was a journey, you know, exploring all the different combination. But that is, you know, when I do the workshop and I teach the first knot, which is a square knot, is the basic macrame knot, and I bring sample at the workshop and say, you know, this is the same knot as this. One is a market bag and one is a clutch bag. You know, different function, same knot, completely different look, and people are like, wow. And that it's when they realize, you know, the potential and of macrame. And I think that's what people, you know, fell into it. And there's, yeah, the potential, how versatile, that's the word I was looking for, how versatile it is as a craft.
Yeah. When you quit designing shower stalls and started doing macrame, what a leap. Did you feel your creativity start to blossom? Did you?
Yeah,
find...
so I did. I was for about a year and a half. I was doing both. So I was still working full time, and I was doing the 12 craft in 12 months in the evenings or the weekend. And then what happened after 6 months of starting the 12 craft in 12 months? I start. A friend of mine said, oh, Isabella, why don't you run a workshop? You know, people were keep asking me also, are you teaching macrame? I was like, no, you know, this is my hobby. I said, oh, why don't you start? I was like, okay. And I honestly thought I was the worst teacher in the world because I don't have much patience in teaching. But when I did my first workshop, I loved this so much. It was, it just poured out of me. And I think when you are passionate about something, it just comes across. And then what I loved is seeing people with the final results. So in my workshop, everyone finished the piece. No one goes home without having finished the piece, because they need to have the satisfaction of having start with a bundle of string and having an item that take home, you know. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it's that achievement, you know, to have create something. And because a lot of people don't spend much time doing something creative, when they see that in 1.5 hours you can make a plant hanger, their eyes lit up, you know, they're so proud of themselves that they've actually made something that they can use in their home, and they can look at it every day and say, I've made that. So I think that the combination of me passing on this passion and people taking it in and make something and being so proud of themselves for achieving something, it just blew my mind. So I start teaching a workshop almost every weekend when I could in the evening. And then about 1.5 years into that, we moved from London into the English countryside. And that's when I took the leap and I said, that's it, I am going to quit. I'm going to just make macrame work, go and pick up my kids from school every day, take them to school, take them to clubs instead of sending them to, you know, after school clubs. And I never used to see them until 6 o'clock in the evening. So that was the, that's the leap I took. And I think when you just take that leap, it was either it's going to work or I'm going to end up doing the same thing as before. And there's no way I'm going back to an office. No way. So I just made it work. And then, you know, and slowly, and that's how my business basically started, on the back of those workshops.
Yeah. Now, okay. So when you make this shift, okay, yeah. two things. I'm having a hard time making these come together, but I'm just going to go for it here. When you make this shift from your mental health aspect, did you see that improve dramatically once 100%. You got? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think spending more time with the girls, definitely, you know, and just being happy, you know, the whole thing that you wake up in the morning and you're excited about the day ahead instead of saying, oh my God, I need to commute 1.5 hours. The underground, you know, draw bathroom, showers or cubicles, whatever, then come back and then cook, tidy up, put the kids to, you know, everything is so, it was so much effort. And of course, it was worrying because at the beginning, the business didn't make much money, you know, right. And that's how it is. But it was that excitement about what was going to come, and that determination. And definitely my mental health improved 100%.
Okay. All right. And then add to that, talk about the To Me.
Yes. So To Me, the name came when I started the blog, The 12 Craft in 12 Months. I had to give a name to my blog. And I thought To Me because it was 2 hours for me. So when I started 12 Craft, The 12 Craft in 12 Months, the idea is that I was going to try every evening to dedicate 2 hours for myself. And that was to do craft. At the time. And then the name kind of stuck. And I think, again, it's coming back now with the book Mindful Macrame, you know, to try to find some time for yourself. And so that's how
the name came. When I first read that, I just loved it because, I'm retired now and best retired, so, you know, supposedly we have more time, though. I haven't seen that yet, Beth. I'm still waiting for those.
I know. Yeah, it's days. Not going to happen for it yet. You have to wait.
but I was thinking back, you know, through my work years, that concept of saying to myself, allowing myself, actually forcing myself to set aside 2 hours for me every day. And then I think of my wife and, you know, and people all over the world who are just scrambling every day to keep their heads above water. To stop for 2 hours and say, this is my time to do what I want to do. It's just such a simple concept, but powerful.
And I think at the time, I knew that I had to give up something. You know, you don't have just 2 hours per hours, you know, no 1 hour. And I thought I could either sit and watch a new Netflix series, or I can actually do this. And that was, you know, so I think for 12 months, I did not watch TV. It was, I knew I was you know, committed to the 12 craft in 12 months. And I knew that I had to give something up. And I said, okay, I'm not going to watch TV. That's it. In the evening, after I've cleared up and, you know, everything, I'm going to sit down at my table and I'm going to make my my crafts.
So you're saying to yourself then, not just 2 hours, but 2 hours of productive time for me.
The time it was, sometimes was me making something, at a time it could be maybe doing research on Instagram, on Pinterest, or future project. And I mean, I'm not saying that every single evening I was there, but I would say probably from Monday to Friday, at least 4 evenings, I would be doing something for my blog. And so at the time, then I decided to start the blog. So maybe it was writing the blog, or maybe it was making something, taking pictures or posting on Instagram. You know, Instagram was completely new for me as well. So again, you know, finding the right hashtag, you know, all this, it was starting from nothing. And then suddenly this world opens up of the blog and then Instagram and recording everything and connecting with other makers, doing research. So that was 2 hours for me, for my project, which was 12 crafts in 12 months at that time.
Yeah. No, it reminds me, it made me think, our daughter is a very skilled flute player, and she plays in I'm going to say community band, and it creates this connotation of a bunch of hacks playing some music. But they're brilliant. It's really good, and they've got a director who's outstanding. And I remember having a discussion with her. She's raising 2 boys, 9 and 7. And yeah, all the things that go with that. And I remember her saying to me, I'm going to have to give up band. I just don't have time. And I said to her, you can't do that. You have to have one thing, at least one thing in the week that's you. And your family's just going to have to step aside and fend for themselves so you can do that, at least that.
Yes.
And she kept it. I'm really happy. She never said anything more, but she's not giving it up. And then when I saw this to me, I thought, you got to block out something for you or you just go nuts.
Yeah. And I think it's, especially I think as women, we have this tendency to put everybody else before us, especially when you have a family, and we feel guilty or selfish for having that time, you know, like your daughter, for instance, you know, to have that time. But it's just so important, because if you're not happy, the rest of the family is not going to be happy either. So it's so important to have that outlet and for your mental health, but also for your own identity, because it's a way for you to express yourself. You know, I've got my best friend that she keeps saying to me, I mentioned her at the back of the book, that she's not creative. She says, Isabella, my outlet is the gym. I just go to the gym every day. But that's what she does. She wakes up half an hour before the whole family. She goes to the gym. Then she comes back and she says, that's my way. I need to start my day like that. So everyone has a different way to cope. She says, you know, that's my mental, that's my way to look after my mental health. So I think everyone needs to have something that, as you said, it's just your time and you can just put everything on pause for a little bit.
Right. I think it's interesting that you you turned off the TV too. I was the other day, I just read your book and busy life right now, and I had some stitching time and I thought, okay, I'll play a podcast. I'm going to play something. I thought, no, today I'm just going to stitch. My husband had something he was watching that I wasn't really paying attention to, but it made me much more mindful of what I was doing. It kind of slowed me down and calmed me down more than when I'm like, I'll have an audiobook going or something while I'm stitching, but it made me be more mindful of my stitching when I did it. And it was just a different way of looking at it. Normally, I think most of us who stitch will have music's not so bad, but like a podcast playing or Netflix going or, you know, something going on. And I kind of wonder if we don't need to kind of slow it down a little bit, turn those things off and just enjoy the craft, enjoy our creative space there.
I personally don't I personally don't put the music. I work in silence. My husband thinks I'm really weird because he's also creative, an interior designer as well, and he always has music. But I don't know why. I just like the quiet. I just feel very comfortable being in the quiet and be focused. Sometimes when I do large projects, so it's very, very repetitive, I will have a podcast on audiobook. So listen to some amazing audiobooks, but that's because it's, you know, it's a project that maybe it's gonna take me 2 weeks. And so, you know, I get bored after a while. But if it's a project, to say that I do, or I work for like a couple of hours, 1 or 2 hours, I will be in silence. I just love it. But I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. And music, I think, as you said, is probably fine. But the moment you put TV or you have a podcast, you know, your brain is not focusing 100% on what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. Your business evolves and it's teaching. Are you designing too?
Yes. So I do commissions. So I've worked with different interior designers or people that just write to me and say, you know, I'm looking for this. Can you make it? So I usually do one-off projects write books. Collaborate with different brands. So in the UK, I was working a lot with Hobbycraft and design patterns that they sell in their own online shop or, you know, for their blog, create kits for different companies. It has grown. It's just been amazing. I feel like so grateful for all the opportunities I have to keep doing my, you know, sometimes I can't believe that this is my job. I think people think it's like, can you actually make money? I was like, yeah, I'm lucky enough. Maybe I'm one of the few, but actually I do. And and I feel grateful and you know, enjoy until it lasts. That's what I said, you know, maybe right. One day we'll stop. I don't know, but until it, people call me to work, I'll keep working and have to do it, so.
Well, I doubt it will end because you have this mental health aspect to it that, I mean, that's not going away anytime soon. So you write 3 books. You've got Macrame for the Modern Home, Macrame Jewelry, and Christmas. I didn't look at those. I assume those are all project books. Here's how you can make. Okay. And then you come along to do Mindful Macrame. So what makes you want to put that book together?
I think after 3 books that was only focused on projects, I really wanted to have something different. I wanted a book that was for everyone, not only people that love macrame or craft. So the idea of Mindful Macrame is that anyone that, you know, goes in a shop like Anthropology, you know, that they're obviously not going to Anthropology to look for craft book, okay? But they see it and they're curious about craft, will see it and pick it up. And the idea is that it's not only about creating something with your hand, but it's have carving the time to slow down. And so I combine the macrame with some of the things that I personally do, which is journaling, which is something I do every day, and then breath work, because breath work is so simple, but yet it's just so powerful, you know, that stopping and actually thinking about breathing, because we breathe all the time and we don't think about it, you know, but actually do it with intention. And they're like small things that anyone can do. Okay, but they can be so, so powerful. So I want it to be more than just craft. I want it to be accessible for everyone and really make people realize that it doesn't take actually much to find mindfulness in your day if you just put aside even 30 minutes. And that's what the book is split in 3 different categories.
Right. Talk about journaling. Now, I've made 2 semi-serious stabs at journaling and I just quit because it to me it was I just it just didn't do a thing for me. I didn't get it. I just simply didn't get it and just quit. So talk about how you approach journaling and how that helps you. What does that do for you? Because I really just struggle to, I don't understand it.
Well, journaling, it's, how do you say, I mean, the way I like journaling is the prompts. So sometimes, you know, so there's different ways of you can do journaling. There's some journals where you just wake up in the morning, just write 3 pages, and they just write everything that you have in your mind. Okay, so that's one type of journaling. And then there's another type of journaling where you have prompts, and you just write what that prompts is asking you. So for instance, in my book, it could be, you know, if you could have any money in the world, where would you like to travel? And you write down. And the idea of the prompt is that make you stop and think about you, okay? So it could be a vision or like a dream that you have, or it could be something perhaps in the past, or it could be something right now, okay? So what are you grateful for, okay, today on the 21st of November, you know, which is probably different in 1 week time or a month ago. So just being aware of you right now, how you are feeling, you know, and that's what I like about journaling. I have a journal that is called the 5 minute journal. I think you can Google it. It's, and that I think is brilliant. That's how I start journaling, but it's literally 5 minutes. And then the more I do it, there's some days where I might spend 30 minutes because as I write, there's more stuff that come up. And other days I only have 5 minutes and I do it 5 minutes, but it's that time where you actually stop and think and yeah. Be grateful for something. Yeah.
I think when I take the time to journal, I find, cause I do the 3 pages or I do the mind dump in the morning.
Yeah.
I just, cause I have too many thoughts going in my head and I have to get them written down. But once, after a while, if you do it for a while, it's like you run out of that mind dump. You've said that, and all of a sudden the creative ideas start coming is what I've discovered. Like all of a sudden I realize I have a solution for a problem on a creative project that I'm working. I'm like, oh, this will work. And, you know, it kind of gets those thoughts out, at least for me, with the journaling.
It's
so the
very
5 minute prompt. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's why I say, you know, everyone has use it. It's a tool, you know, and you have to use it the way it works. It works for you. You should give it a go again.
Okay.
I honestly recommend a 5 minutes journal because it's not a chore. You know, 5 minutes is just 5 minutes, and then if it turns into 10 because you decide that you want to spend more time on it, it's, you know, it's your choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Because see, we should back up a step. The book, Mindful Macrame, is, what do you have, 30-minute, 60-minute, and multiple-hour projects. So we have some simple little so it's just something to do with your hands. But then you actually devote pages in the book for this journaling. I mean, there are pages with lines, blank pages with lines for journaling with prompts.
And yes.
To me, that's where that the book now reaches a different level, because now it's a functional book. I'm looking at this thing to make whatever little design you have. I'm going to make in 30 minutes. But then right there is something for me to think about and write down as I'm doing the macrame. And it was like, yes, perfect. Yeah.
Because that's what happened to me. Sometimes I told you I make in silence and ideas will just come up. And I have always a notebook next to me, and that's where I will write my notes. And so the idea of the book is, if you are, especially if you do the project in 30 minutes, I imagine, you know, you took your daughter, I'm taking my daughter to gymnastics, I have 1 hour to kill. Maybe I'll do a project, okay? It's the best time, you know, I'll do a little project, 30 minutes, I can fit it. You're not going to have the journal as well, and you're not going to bring, you know, but the book has everything, has the step-by-step, has the pictures, tells you what to do. There's the breath work. It has the prompt. So while you're doing the project, you can think of the prompt. And the idea of the project as well, if you look at the project, the majority of the project use the same knot over and over again. So the idea is that when you learn how to make the knot and you keep doing it, you lose yourself in the rhythm. You don't have to think anymore of how you're making the knot. If you learn how to make the knot, if you have to make the same knot 20 times, after the fifth time, your hands just do the knot. You lose yourself in that rhythm and that monotony, you know, that repetition, and your brain starts to think. And I give you a prompt or something to think about it, and hopefully then you will have something to write down. So hopefully people are going to use it. And it doesn't have to be used like that. You can just use it as a journal. You can just use the breathwork. You can just use the project. It's up to you, of course. But that's how I imagine the book when I put it together.
Yeah. But see, that's what moves it out of strictly macrame, though.
Yes.
Because see, yeah. Beth and I sitting down and stitching, that book could be right in front of me with the same prompts, and they still work no matter what I'm doing.
100%.
Yeah. And so to me, it's expanded out to everyone doing something with their hands and then the mind thing. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. No,
it definitely gives you something to think about. So that way, because like I said, you know, we tend to distract ourselves, you know, is what we're doing in this day and age. So to stop and say, no, I'm going to think about this question while I'm doing something very repetitive. Because for me, I have to keep my mind busy while I'm, you know, if I'm doing just little X's or even if I'm doing a needlepoint piece that's the same stitch again and again, I need something to occupy my mind or it just, you know, I'm not happy. It doesn't fulfill the needs, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally understand. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of my favorite prompts. Remember the last time you had fun? Oh, that stopped me. That stopped me right there. I was sitting at the computer putting together questions and topics to talk about, and I just stopped and sat back and thought, wait a minute. When was the last time? Fortunately, it was like the day before, but because I thought, what if it's like a month ago? What am I doing? You know?
but that's the thing, right? It's just those simple questions that, you know, then you have to stop and think. And having fun, it's, you know, as an adult, sometimes we go days without actually having fun.
Right.
Right. Too busy adulting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, but from the mental health aspect, I thought, wait a minute. Are people in such bad shape, not bad shape, but in living such lives that the question, when was the last time you had fun, is a valid question to ask.
Mm.
And that would, you know, make you stop and think, wait, when did I last have a good time? Yeah. I've just been, you know, I'm just grinding every day, raising kids, keeping a household going. And yeah, that stopped me right in my tracks. That was good. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you could travel anywhere, see, and that one, I just ended a career where there was a long stretch where I was traveling twice a month, and I don't care if I see another airport for a long, long time, but I stopped to think, you know, and that was all business travel. So, but I stopped to think, what if I could just go somewhere for me?
Yeah.
And then the wheels start spinning again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes travel doesn't mean you have to take the plane. It could be I don't know, 2 hours from where you are, but you're so busy that you can't even go up, I don't know, up in the mountains, you know, or to the lake, or you could be just at the beach, right? Depends where you live. And it doesn't have to be something exotic. I think travel, you know, everyone has a different dream or vision of, you know, of how, what traveling, my husband's family, they love traveling with camper van. For me, it's my nightmare. I would never do a holiday in a camper van, but they love it. So that is the, that's probably, you know, the vision of traveling and having fun. While for me is, yeah, actually take a plane. But, you know, so everyone is a different version, but I think it's not carving that time where you can just be away from your daily routine and the daily responsibility.
Right. Just getting away, and I think turning off the phones, turning off the electronics too, or just a change of scenery. I have a friend that travels a lot, and I think it, for her as a creative person, it inspires her creativity too. It, when she comes back, she's just like jumping out of her ideas, because she's seen something new. And I know when my husband and I travel, we have a small camper, which that's what cracks me up. It does. When I come back, I'm full of ideas for being creative, you know, just, or different ways to interpret things, or, you know, it just fills your soul in a different way, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And you Europeans are so much better at making sure you get your time off, you get your holidays.
Yeah, I think in US you only have 10 days, I think.
We're terrible at it. I mean, I went many years where I never even took a vacation, because, you know, I was, you know, you gotta do the job and you gotta move ahead. But you guys don't mess around with it. It's not, there's no other option. My holiday is coming up and I'm going.
Yeah, and you know, in some companies, if you don't take those holidays, you lose them. Mm. You know, it's not that you can carry them the next day, so they kind of force you to take them. It says, well, you know, you still have 5 days left, you just have to take them. So you're like, okay, fine. I mean, the majority of people will take them, but, you know, sometimes because for whatever circumstance, if you had any few days, they say you have to take them by the end of the year. And I think in also a lot of corporate companies, after you worked a certain amount of years, they will just give you 5 extra holidays. Right, so that is a huge incentive, you know. People, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, see, at two different companies, I was up to 4 weeks of vacation, paid vacation a year. Never took them.
Day
here, you know, day here, day there, but never took them.
But that's also a cultural thing, that you feel bad if you go away for 2 weeks in a row, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I know my husband worked at a place where he would say, should I take my computer with? Because I got to watch what's going on. And we were like, we would all yell at him, no, you can't take the computer with. We're going on vacation. We don't want you sitting there on the floor at 2 o'clock in the morning watching your reactions run. That's not vacation. Yeah.
But that's exactly it. Because I bet I can count on one hand the number of weeks that I took time off from work in 45 years that didn't have a computer with me or, you know, something. It was always that. And there's a young man that in the company that just closed that I worked with, and he was going to Japan. He was going to take a vacation to Japan, and he was writing to us, you know, I've got everything lined up and ahead of time, and you know, if there's anything comes up, I'll be available. Just call me. And I wrote to him and I said, Greg, I went 45 years and I just didn't take the time. You know, I'd take a Friday afternoon off or something. And I said, don't make my mistake. Go. Leave the work behind. Go. It'll be here when we get back. And trust me, it's not going to hurt you, but it's going to help you. Get out. And it was really me talking to him, but it was really me saying to me, you missed out.
You know? You talking to your younger self.
Yeah.
If you could go back. Yeah.
Right.
But no one told you, right? And that's why I think a lot is a cultural issue, that they didn't encourage you or make you feel guilty for taking time off for spend time with your family. And I think luckily, I think is changing these days. People are way more aware of mental health and how important it is to have time off. To right. also be more productive at work. You can't just keep going 100% for 45 years in a row. It just doesn't work.
Right. And I don't want people to think I was one of those that was never there for the kids. I did all the kid things, all the ball games, all you know, I did all of it, all of it. But, well, I mean, I was so bad at one point when personal computers first came onto the scene. And then it, when we had one for the staff and then we had each got our own, I would take mine home. I would take home this monstrous personal computer and monitor. I would take it home on the weekends so I could work at That's night. Cool. And, you know, I mean, for what? What did I get out of it? So when we look at this book and I start thinking, you got me thinking about so many things in this whole mental health thing. You got to stop and to me, 2 hours for me, you know, mm-hmm. you just got to stop and take that time because in the end, you miss out for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And it's not, and I think it's especially for moms with young kids or children, if you don't take that little bit of time. Because I did my embroidery guild, and I'd be like, I'd leave my husband and be like, bye, you guys are going to be okay for the night. I'll be all right. And I would go, and my friends would laugh because I wouldn't go home until almost midnight. I would go find a coffee shop and sit and have coffee because it didn't bother me at that point in time. And just to be by myself. And they're like, you're going to the coffee shop at 9 o'clock at night, Beth. And I'm like, it's open till midnight. I don't have to be home. The kids are in bed. And I would. I mean, but that was my time. That was the time I carved out for me.
Yeah.
You know, they were, my husband was home. He was taking care of them. They were fine. I was with them the rest of the time. They were good. But I think, you know, you need to take that time, you know, to carve that time. And then in that space of asking yourself those questions, because that's a lot of times when I would sit and journal too.
Yeah.
Did art journaling at that point in time. So I'd have my little watercolor paints and, you know, you'd be creative there. But I didn't have any interruptions either, too. And that was the other thing that's kind of hard to get. So to take 2 hours time would be difficult. But maybe even 2 hours once a month is better than nothing, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And I think if you introduce it as a habit, so it's a bit like the 5 minutes journaling every morning or the macrame, even if it's just 30 minutes a week or 1 hour a week, you know, but as you say, it's every Wednesday night, you know, at from 8 to 9 or 8 to 10. And you tell everyone, you tell the family or you tell your friends and say, you know, that is what I need. It's like your daughter, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to go to the band. That's how it is. And people will cope, you know, it's 2 hours. At the end of the day, if you think about it, it's only 2 hours, you know,
right, nothing. Right.
You know, what's going to happen? What's the worst is going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You'll still be alive. It'll be okay.
Yeah. I came back from a retreat though.
Ties, they will not need therapy, they will be okay.
No. I did come back from a retreat one time. They called me actually at the retreat and they said, we had to tell you something. I was like, oh no, what happened? My oldest son cut my daughter's hair. I guess it was in her eyes and she goes, cut my hair. And they were both little, so we just so that's the worst that can happen.
Okay. That's a family story for years to come right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How how did you discover the benefits of breathing?
How did I discover?
Other than we stay alive. I mean,
yeah. No, I think I've been, during 2020, I start, to get to explore my spirituality, more, and I think that, and that's where I start go journaling, I start meditation, breath work, and and that's where I got into it. Yeah, definitely was 2020.
The old pandemic. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it, I assume it calms you, gets you centered.
Yeah. Grounded. Yeah. Definitely grounded. And then, and just pause and, you know, think about me. So my body as, you know, as a physical element. Yeah. Physical thing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And that's in the book there. We have exercises, things for people to do.
Very simple breath work exercise. Anyone can do it. You know, I'm not an expert, but I've been doing it for a few years that I know that even taking deep breath, you know, even, you know, just breathing all the way in and all the way out, we don't think of that, but just even thinking that, it just relaxes you. So yeah, I'll encourage everyone to try, just relax and sit into your body and feel grounded, put your feet on the ground while you do it. If you can, take your socks and shoes off and and just really feel grounded.
Yeah. What is it in the childbirth? What is it? Cleansing breath. Cleansing breath, right? Yeah. Yes. I remember cleansing that breath. From the classes. Cleansing breath, yeah. So, okay, so the book comes out January 10. People can pre-order.
Yeah.
And then how do people interact with you in terms of your classes? Do we have online? Are you doing virtual?
So the book, actually, if you go on my website, so it's isabellastrambio.com/mindfulmacrame, there's a whole page dedicated to the book. And from the 6th to the 10th of January, I'm running a free Mindful Macrame experience where every day you receive an email where there will be it's a surprise. I can't tell you, but it's just an experience that you're gonna get. But you're gonna get a little kind of gift in your inbox, and you can open it, and there will be something. But it's kind of how do you say, a taster of the book. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm always very active. I've just finished a three-day macrame challenge where I had 500 people signing up from around the world to learn how to make a macrame basket. I do online courses, and I'm going to host a macrame retreat in Spain in May. And hopefully I will start doing some workshop, a face-to-face workshop in Sweden as well. And I'll be back in the UK as well in March for the Stitch Festival. So very busy. But if you follow me on Instagram, website, sign up for the mailing list, you will get up to date to various ways that you can learn from me. But I get lots of followers from the US, and they usually are follow my online courses. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say on your website, an excellent section for beginners.
Yes, there's a whole page, Macrame for Beginners, there with a lot of information. And if you email me or message me on Instagram, I always reply. So, you know, I'm a strong believer on community. I built my community from nothing. You know, there's people that are still following me since the 12 crafting 12 months. And that's why I do this free challenge as well. I've got my own online community, because for me, that it's very, very important, that network.
Yep. Isabella, thank you. That was fun. We learned things.
It's been so nice chatting with both of you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yep.
And thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening.